This morning, I want to tell you about the best movie of all time. In fact, it's more popular in the last 15 years than it was when it originally came out. It's the movie The Princess Bride. Anyone see it? Best movie ever. If you haven't seen it, it is a fairy tale adventure about the idea of true love. A young man named Wesley needs to find his princess after a long separation. It takes place in a mythical kingdom of Florin. And it's going to take the most unlikely of heroes to rescue her. The main character, the love interest of Princess Buttercup, his name is Wesley. He's considered to be a farm boy, good looking, not considered to be very smart. In fact, Buttercup talks down to him. He's brave. He loses all of his strength, and yet he presses on. There's Fezzik. He's our next character, Andre the Giant. He's a timid guy, large-hearted, obedient, strong, not the smartest chip off the block, but he's a true friend. And then there's Ioya Montoya. He's a man of steel. He's skilled and dangerous. His whole life is built on wanting revenge. He's basically good. He is said to be loyal. He likes to drink. And he would probably have your back. Together, these three make a huge journey. And their idea is to save Princess Buttercup, to defeat Prince Humperdinck, and to reunite her with Wesley. The story goes on, and it ends with Princess Buttercup, Wesley, and his two buddies riding off into the sunset. And he ends up living happily ever after with Princess Buttercup. If you haven't seen it, you should see the movie. I try to watch it once a year. I wonder this morning, if you had to look at these three characters to go on a journey and to save a princess and go through the dangers of a forest, defeating an evil prince, of going through a swamp, if you would have chosen these three guys to be your heroes. I suspect most of us probably wouldn't, because we would make a checklist of what we would want in the people that would become a hero. We have those checklists all the time, don't we? I think of when you and I apply for a job. Or if you're a young person and you've applied to go to university, you'll realize that they don't only look at your grades anymore. In fact, they want to see what work experience you've had. They want to see what extracurricular activities you've done. They also want to see where you have volunteered. And if all of that looks good and you get an interview, they're going to want to see how you present yourself, how you are able to speak, how you present in public. And maybe then, if everything goes well, you'll get accepted. It makes me wonder, not only about heroes, but about work and about school, what kind of people God chooses to build the kingdom. My grandfather wisely said to me, and it's always stuck with me, you're going to be surprised at who's in heaven and who's not in heaven. In fact, there are people that you're going to say, of course they're going to be in heaven, and they're not. There's going to be people that maybe we have written off, and they're going to be in heaven. And I think of those words where God says, my ways are not your ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts. And God begins to turn the world upside down in passages like we're about to read. I want to open it with verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many are wise according to the flesh. Not many are mighty. Not many noble are called. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. The church of Corinth will come up on a slide, hopefully in a map. And I don't know if you can see it clearly, but Corinth is right in the middle island there, just a little farther down from Macedonia. And it was a highly sophisticated community. There was a strong emphasis on how much money you had, how popular you were, how much education you had, how much of an influence you were in the community. But evidently, most members within the church at Corinth were not of the religious elite, were not of the political elite, they were not of the financially higher level of society. In fact, they were the lower class of society that were predominantly filling the church. But you notice how the passage opens? It tells us something very important. That not many of the noble, that not many of the wise, that not many of the intellectually astute, that not many of the political powers were there. Because you see, there was a problem in the church of Corinth before we can even get to who God can use. Is that the church was filled with the whole idea of pride. Now, let me prove it to you. 1 Corinthians 1:29 says, "See that no human might boast in the presence of God." Verse 31 of the same chapter. "Therefore, as it is written, let him who boast in the Lord." Chapter 3. "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but God gives the growth." Chapter 3, verse 21. "So let no one boast of men." Chapter 4. "That none of you may be puffed up in favor against one another. If you have received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift?" Still chapter 1, verse 5. "Are you arrogant?" Chapter 8. "Know that knowledge puffs up, but love builds." 1 Corinthians 1:13. "Love is not jealous, it is not arrogant, it is not rude." 2 Corinthians chapter 1. "Hardship comes even to the brink of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but God who raises the dead." 2 Corinthians 3. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves or claim anything of our, because our sufficiency is from God." You see, I think that problem of pride often gets in the way. It is us being in the place of God. It is claiming for ourselves what God has really done and us taking the credit. It is us relying on our gifts, our ability, our intellect, our political power, our finances, rather than God. It's our unwillingness to see the story of God. Paul's saying something very important here. He's saying, remember who you were. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you were in darkness, but now you live in the glorious light. Remember how that happened, he's saying. It's happened because I sent my son into the world. It happened because my son died on the cross for you. It happened because the Holy Spirit opened your heart. That while you were so far from God, you could hear the story of the marvelous grace and love of God who says, "I love you. You belong. You matter. I want you on my team. You are so valuable, my son would die for you." To a culture that was saying, "I have lots of money. I'm politically astute. I'm of the upper class." He's saying to the church of Corinth, "See that. See that which I've just been telling you, because this gets in the way of grace. Because this makes you rely on yourself and your own power and your own ability. But this is what I can do within your story and I want to do." And so Paul, in the opening words, grabs a mirror and he turns it around to you as the people of God. He goes, "Look where I have brought you from. Look what I have done." And you notice how God more often than not doesn't take the elite of culture to do great things for him, because he wants us to see that's really all about him. He wants us to be those who are teachable, those who are humble in heart, those who are pure in spirit. And so he begins to go to those whose stories are broken. He begins to go to the lowly, the poor, the isolated, the downtrodden. Why? Because they're teachable and ready to be used by God. Remember how he took a little boy and he grabbed some stones and he grabbed a slingshot and he took down a giant? Want to know why? He took a little boy who was teachable so that he could say, look what God has done. Remember how God used a musical instrument? Some guys were blowing it and the walls of Jericho came down. You don't want to know why? So they could say, look what God has done. Remember Gideon when he was going to go to battle and he had an army of 32,000 men and God said, no, it's way too big, Gideon. Take 300. But even that is still way too many. And they defeated the Midianites. And so that Gideon couldn't say, look what we have done, but could only say, look what God has done. Do you remember the ox goad in the hand of Shamgar who defeated the Philistines? Look what God has done. Or the jawbone of a donkey that Samson used. And with the jawbone of a donkey, he defeated a whole army, something only God could have done. And then there's Jesus. With some fish and some bread, he feeds 5,000 people. Only something God could have done. You see, I think we have in every society. You're in, you're not. You belong, you don't. And we have these two classes. And God is beginning to change the conversation in our passage. Let's pick up on the passage. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many are wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and he has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame, to shame the things of which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Did you catch what he just said? You and I can boast this morning. You and I can boast in the things of Christ. You and I can boast in the God who saves, who redeems, who calls, who empowers, who refreshes, who equips. The same God who says to you and I this morning, you are loved. You are my treasured possession. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have a purpose. You are called. You are gifted. You are empowered. I have a plan for you. I suspect some of us this morning might be saying, how could God use me? Well, let me show you from history. Remember how God took a guy named Noah in the middle of the desert? In over 120 years, this guy takes to build an ark. He's ridiculed. He didn't leave or save anybody or lead anyone to faith that we're told of. But on that day, waters began to come down. And Noah and two of every animal and his family were saved. And God used them as part of his plan. You remember Abraham? The man who would have children as numerous as the stars? It was twice where they were going to be captured. And he offers his wife in order to spare her to another person. And God uses Abraham and his wife, Sarah, to do great things. Remember Joseph? Joseph was from a dysfunctional family. They didn't have it all together. He had a prison record, and God used him to help out the nation during one of the greatest famines in human history. Or Moses. He was a meek and a modest man. He wasn't a charismatic speaker. In fact, he was a murderer. And God used him to lead the people of Israel to the promised land. David, the man who was said to have a heart that sought after God, had an affair. He had a man killed. And yet he became one of the greatest kings in Israel's history. Remember Elijah? He was prone to depression. He collapsed under pressure, and he was a great prophet. Hosea, who many believe is a Christ figure or picture, who has a wife who continually cheats on him, and he relentlessly pursues her, and gives us one of the greatest examples of love and sacrifice. Or who can forget about Peter? Peter was aggressive. He was short-tempered. He was a firecracker, a loose cannon. And isn't he the one who hears the words, "Upon you I will build my church"? Ordinary people who experience the grace and the mercy and the love of God, and who are simply there in the place to be used by God, do great things for him. God says to you and I this morning, I want you on my team. God says to you and I this morning, I choose you. God says to you and I this morning, you belong. The Bible says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that is, as is written, he who glorifies, let him glorify in the Lord. See, the people that God wants to use in the building of the kingdom is simply this, is a people whose heart seeks after righteousness, who seeks the kingdom of God. You remember these things that he was talking to the church at Corinth, that got in the way? God says to you and I, I've taken care of all that. And you who have experienced grace and mercy and love, I've given you everything you need. Will you join me on the journey? If you've been at one of our last two congregational meetings, if you've read some of the letters that council has sent out, you'll realize that there's four spheres or four circles that we as a church are working on. One is to use our facility to make maximum use for the kingdom. Council has been sharing how our dream is to have a greater impact in the community around us. Going to the barbecue on Tuesdays, one great opportunity to do that. VBC coming up is another great opportunity of expanding community within our church and growing the programs here at Community Church. And here's the challenge for us this morning. God's already taking care of everything that could separate us from him. God has already promised the pouring out of the Spirit. Maybe we've said this morning, we've been there, we've done that, I'm getting older, I've done my time. Just think of Abraham and how old he was. I believe God is saying to us this morning, as people who have experienced grace, how can you partner with Community Church to live out the story of the good and glorious story of the gospel that God has already prepared you for, that God has already equipped you for, that God already has empowered you with the Spirit for? Will we take up the challenge that God has been knocking at the door of our heart, maybe, and to step forward in faith, to join him in what he wants to do in and through Community Church? Because I believe God wants to do good and great things in this next season of the life of Community Church. Out of the glorious riches of faith, if we have not already done so, would you be willing to step out in faith and allow God to use you in new and mighty ways? Amen. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you this morning, and we are ever reminded that you have done for us what we could not do for ourselves. to not only be reminded of our sin being forgiven, for us not only this morning being reminded of the joy of eternity that waits for us, but to remind us this morning that you have invited us to partner with you to do things that only God could do. And yet you invite us to be a part of that process. And Lord, whatever it is for us this morning, I pray that wherever that knocking may be, that you would challenge us this morning to step out in faith and to actually answer that call. As we step forward in faith and we think about going on serve, as we step forward in faith and we do the works to, in this coming week, to get ready for a VBC that will happen just after the long weekend, for the youth ministry programs, for the upcoming Bolivia mission trip in November, to the ministries that we've been thinking about and want to say to council, here's what I want to do. Will you join me as we move forward in this ministry? That you would just move in our hearts. That we would know the place where you want us to be in missions and in ministry here in this community. Or do we want to continue, as we think of that community, to think of Brenda's brother Greg? Lord, we just pray for this new chemotherapy protocol that will be started. We pray for his body to be receptive. We pray that you would be at work continuing to push that cancer at bay. And Lord, we just pray that you would lay your hand of grace upon him, that he may, even in this moment as we're praying, experience your hand in a mighty and a powerful way. Lord, we want to thank you for calling us into a community of faith. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to use community church to be a presence in this community. We pray that you would continue to challenge us to move forward in faith. And we pray not only in the work and the ministry of the church here, but Lord, in our places of work, the schools that we attend, the neighborhoods in which we live, that you would use our story of people who have been called out of his glorious light, or out of darkness into his glorious light, that we would ever be mindful of the grace that you have given to us. In your name we pray. Amen.